And as that song that was being sung talked about being too near to heaven or too near to the reward to go back, I'd like all of us to realize no matter how far along we are in life, we're too far along to turn back. It'd be pointless to go back to something that we were delivered from. I know that the scripture talks about a dog returning back to his vomit, it says. Now that's pretty disgusting, isn't it? And we certainly don't want to turn back to something that we have been lifted above by the gospel, by the word, by the Spirit of God. And so this morning I have a little burden. It could be a big burden. Actually, I find it quite challenging. So I'd like for us to turn to the 12th chapter of the book of Romans. And I've been reading through this chapter. It's not a very long chapter, and I'm not going to read the whole chapter to you, so you can relax on that part. But I've been reading through this, and some of the things that seem to have opened up to me is it seems like the 12th chapter of Romans is almost like a checklist. When we take our travel trailer and go someplace, my wife has a checklist. She saved it on her computer, and she can go print it off. And this list reminds her to get the toothbrushes, and it reminds her to put whatever she feels like we might need. And sometimes she takes that list with her so that if we get to our destination and we have to go to Walmart to get something, you know how it is when you go somewhere. It's like when you go, you forget to take it, and then sometimes when you go back home, you forget to take it back home with you. You know what I'm talking about. So we have, some of us, we do, we have checklists that we go over. And so to me, the 12th chapter of Romans seems to have some checklist type points in it. He starts out by saying, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And then he begins to elaborate on what that means. And it is so important for us to understand what it means to be a Christian and to have the gospel message really working in our lives. Because I believe I believe that the gospel changes people. There is a new creature that comes out of when we come to and confess and repent before the Lord. He can make things new that were broken, that were wore out. In Sunday school this morning, we talked about some brokenness in Elijah's life, and we could spend a lot of time elaborating why would someone that witnessed the power of God like Elijah did with fire coming down from heaven, why would he run from Jezebel? There's something that was broke there, and we could debate and discuss and analyze for the rest of today, I know, and still not totally understand what was it that was broken in Elijah's life. There's something was, but the gospel has come to take brokenness and make a new creature out of that and give us something that changes it where all things are new. And I'm so grateful for that. I believe that You can take stuff away from me, but I'm still going to believe that the gospel can make a new creature out of a lot of rubbish that we bring him, if we bring him our rubbish. So I'd like to look down towards the end of this chapter, beginning in the 17th verse, and I'm going to look at some of the checkpoints that he gives that ought to be in a Christian's life. He says here in verse 17 beginning, "Recompense to no man evil for evil, provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good." So, this chapter, and especially these points here, seem to remind me of the book of Proverbs. Proverbs seems to be a checklist. Do this, do this, don't do that. You know, it's kind of like one-liners. A lot of Proverbs is that way. So it kind of reminded me of that. And there's a couple verses here that's almost exact quotations from the book of Proverbs. So I'd like to turn over there to Proverbs, the 25th chapter, and notice what he says in Proverbs 25 and verses 21 and 22. And remember, there's a lot of space of time between Proverbs, the book of Proverbs, and this book of Romans, as far as time, as far as the date line. Proverbs was written, we believe. We give credit to King Solomon for that. It's an accumulation of things that he had learned and maybe was told to him. But in Proverbs 25 and verse 21, it says, "If thine enemy be hungry, give him bread to eat. And if he be thirsty, give him water to drink. For thou shalt heap coals of fire upon his head, and the Lord shall reward thee." Now, when we, as a young man, when I would read these verses, it seems like this was the way to get back or get even. All right? Heap coals of fire. Now, what do you think of when you think of coals of fire? I think of something that's obviously hot. It's uncomfortable. The last place I would want coals of fire is on my head. I've been close to the, you know, I've got an outdoor wood furnace, and I've opened the door and the fire kind of puffed out at me before. And if you've ever had a wood stove, you kind of know the circumstances that caused that. I've singed my eyebrows, and you go around smelling like burnt hair for a day or two. And, you know, so I was thinking, well, I don't know. It's hard to see. The context, it doesn't seem to fit here, but it says here, "In you do good to those that didn't treat you very right, and you're going to heap some coals of fire on their head and make them uncomfortable." Is that really what it's talking about? That's really not what it's talking about. So, not like you and I initially think of. It's not the coals that we think, yes, we're going to put some heat on them and make them uncomfortable. No, that's really not what it's talking about at all. It's not talking about inflicting pain. It's not talking about because he was our enemy, we do something to make them squirm a little bit. Have you ever noticed that it's pretty difficult to pay someone back exactly how they did you an injustice. You ever notice that? You got to make them feel the same uncomfortableness you felt, but they need a little interest put on that. You ever notice that? I worked with a couple guys. No, I worked with one of them, and I knew the other one. And they had worked together at the place that I worked with one of them. So if that's not confusing, I'll explain more later. And these two fellas would prank one another on the job. You know what I'm talking about? They'd do something that would cause the other one to, pranking can be a cup of water sitting on top of the door that's almost closed. And when you go through it, you know, the cup falls off and pours water on your head. That's a simple one. Boys, be careful. Don't. It can get out of hand pretty quick. I've seen a lot of pranks on the job, especially at that place where I work, or what two places I've worked in my life. And these fellows were pranking one another, and one of them, he was going to teach the other one a lesson. And forgive me for being a little bit mechanical here, but one of them had pranked the other one, and so the one that had been pranked was going to prank him back. And this is how it gets out of hand so quick. I don't know what the first man did, but the second one went out to the other's pickup truck while he was gone to lunch or someplace. I don't know. He was not around, and he raised the hood. This was back when hoods didn't have locks inside, and of course cars probably wasn't locked anyway. He raised the hood, and he pulled all the plug wires off down at the spark plugs, and he took the distributor out of the engine and gave it a spin and laid it in the front seat. Well, let me tell you, the long story short here is that this man was not going to go home without retiming his engine and putting his distributor back in. It would probably going to take him a minimum of 30 minutes, even if he knew exactly what he was doing, to get his truck where he could start it and go back home. Now, I don't know what the other man had done, but I'm sure it wasn't that level of inconvenience. Paying back, you know, you pinched me, so I pinch you back. You broke my pencil, so I got to do something. I got to break your pencil. Well, hardly ever do we have the same opportunity to do equal things. And the enemy is always there. You need to help them get the message not to do this again. All right? And that's how things go from one, escalate from one point to another point. And the reason I believe the Apostle Paul wrote this, and the reason that the Proverbs say what they said, is because there is something that's better than that. You know, you could do something that offended me a little bit, and I could do something to offend you on purpose, just a little bit. Maybe just a little bit more, so maybe you would get the message not to offend me. But what if you thought, I'll just offend them a little bit more. You see what I'm saying? Just one thing goes to something else, and pretty soon, you know, you can start out by bumping into somebody and end up in a fist fight pretty quick. I mean, that's just the way carnality works. And the message here, the gospel message, is dramatically different than the old man, right? Because the old man wants to defend myself. Stay in your own space. Leave me alone. Don't touch me. Don't bother me. You know, and we have to deal with that in our children. You know, you can draw the imaginary line down the middle of the back seat and say, you stay on this side and you stay on that side. And the next thing you know, one of them is going to complain because the other one is looking at them. It's just real life, and we have to deal with those kind of things as parents, and sometimes grandparents. We have to deal with those kind of things too. So I want us to realize that the gospel message is more than trying to referee paying back. The gospel message does so, it changes us to respond differently. And that's what he's talking about here. I'm going to try to break this down to where it makes more sense to all of us, especially the heap and the coals of fire. But at first, I would like to go back to what the old law said. I said the gospel is much different than carnality, but it's different than the old law. Let's go to Exodus briefly and look at what... where'd the old law come from? Moses was given the old law by who? By God. You think God was wrong? I just have this, I have this conviction that God was not wrong then and he's not wrong now. Did you know that the law is referred to as a schoolmaster? And you know, sometimes in training, got to be really careful here, in training the next generation, there has to be consequences. And sometimes there has to be consequences in occupations. I believe that Christians can work for one another, be employed by another Christian, and I believe that that can work out well. And I believe Christians can employ non-Christians, and that can work out well. And I believe that we have to realize that sometimes there's a level of consequence for actions. And I believe that's what the old law was trying to get across. But let's look at Exodus chapter 21. And I believe it's 24 and 25. It says, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot, burning for burning, wound for wound, stripe for stripe. You hit me, I hit you back. You poke out my eye, I poke out your eye. If I only had one to start with, you get two poked out. You see? This was the old law. We might say, in a more colloquial expression, tit for tat. You ever heard that? Do it to me, I'll do it back. You look at me kind of mean, I'll frown at you. You let the door slam on my finger, I'll make sure it slams on yours. Let's go to Leviticus, the 24th chapter. And notice what it says here. The 24th chapter of Leviticus. And starting in the 17th verse, it says, and he that killeth any man shall surely be put to death. And he that killeth a beast shall make it good, beast for beast. You run over my dog, then you need to replace my dog. And if a man cause blemish in his neighbor, as he hath been done, so shall it be done to him. Breach for breach, eye for an eye, tooth for tooth. He that hath caused a blemish in a man, so shall it be done unto him again. But he that killeth a beast, he shall restore it, and he that killeth a man, he shall be put to death. Well, this sounds pretty rigid, doesn't it? It sounds pretty carnal, too. You know how easily that is to get out of hand? Pretty easy. Well, you killed the neighbor's old bull that was he was 12 years old anyway, and the neighbor come and shot your young bull that was 2 years old. That's pretty easy to get out of hand, isn't it? Well, that's not fair. Well, you need to lose a young bull too now. That wasn't equitable. Well, it was only inequitable because I didn't have a 12-year-old bull. You know, human intellect and reasoning and all that starts coming into factors, and that's why you dump a cup of water on me, I'll bust out your windshield. You know, that's the kind of things that happen. But listen what Jesus said in the 5th chapter of Matthew. What did I say? The gospel comes to make us different. And Jesus said something in the Sermon on the Mount, in the 5th chapter of Matthew, and we'll read here in the 38th verse. He says, you have heard that it's been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. We just read that, didn't we? And we've talked about how that can get out of hand so easy. And he says, but I say unto you that ye resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on the right cheek, turn him the other also. Somebody comes along and slaps you unnecessarily and says, I'm sorry. It's pretty hard not to step on their toe or kick them in the shin. Pretty hard to do that. Jesus said, if somebody hits you, you turn the other cheek. And if any man shall sue thee at the law and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him two or twain. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow from thee, turn not thou away. That's going to take a change of heart, isn't it? That's going to have to be a different man than the old carnal man. Because I'm going to tell you, I really don't like sharing with people that don't share with me. That's just how we're wired. I've got to protect my stuff and my space. And you know, if you stepped on my toes, it looked to me like you did it on purpose. And I shove you back. Get out of my space. You was too close anyway. And it's so easy to reciprocate evil for evil. Injustice for injustice. Violation for violation. But Jesus comes teaching something different than the old law. He said, but I say unto you, you've heard, you read it. I read it to you this morning. You've heard it, but I'm going to tell you something that's different. You want to fix the world's problems, we're going to have the gospel. We can't fix the problems in the world by retaliating tit for tat. We only can rise above pushing and shoving and kicking and biting. We can only rise above that with the gospel. And that means there has to be a new man, because the old man is going to kick and bite back. It's very typical for us to be inclined to do that. And the only way life gets better is applying the gospel to the situations around us. That's the only way the world will ever get better. So I'd like to go back to Romans, the 12th chapter. We'd like to talk about this difficult verse here. I believe Paul knew what Jesus had said. And I don't know, by the time that he had wrote this letter to the Romans, if the book of Luke or the book of Matthew had already been written down and he could have read it, but I believe he knew the content of the Sermon on the Mount. And he knew what Jesus had said when he said, but I say unto you, turn the other cheek. Don't do evil for evil. You heard it. That's what the old law said. And Paul knew the old law. But he says, Paul is supporting the thing that Jesus taught. He says, recompense to no man evil for evil. Because why did he say that? Because it's so easy for it to get out of hand. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. Now, I want to make this just, try to make it as clear as possible. You know, I know for a fact, unless Brother Sean's got rid of it, he's got a 28-foot fiberglass extension ladder. I got one too. Now, it would only seem fair if he had his ladder inadvertently laying on the ground and I drove over it with my pickup truck and broke it up. It only seemed fair for me to give him my ladder, wouldn't it? I mean, I think there's some reality discipline that's involved there. But you know, did anybody else here have a 28-foot fiberglass extension ladder? So what if I run over, if Brother Mark here had a 14-foot extension, what if I run over your ladder? How should we handle that? Well, here's my 28-foot. Is that fair? Oh, maybe his 14-foot ladder is something that his dad gave him. Maybe it was wore out when his dad gave it to him. I'm not picking on him. It's just, I mean, this is reality. How do we make things equal and fair? Paul said, don't do evil for evil. Don't drag mine out and run over mine. But there should be some recompense. If I'm being reckless, I need to take care of the things that I damage. I mean, there's some, whatever we want to call it, reality discipline. He says, don't do evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. Own up to it. When you did back into somebody's car, own up to it. Don't try to sweep it under the rug. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. You know that sometimes, you know, we can hear people say, I can get along with anybody. Well, maybe you can and maybe you can't. Maybe there's someone that you have overextended yourself. You've tried to not do evil for evil. You've tried to implement the gospel message, and it doesn't matter what you do, it's never quite good enough. Have you ever... You know what I'm talking about? That is the world that we live in. I'm not going to use the colloquial expression my mother might use right there, but we can overextend ourselves trying to please someone that is just habitually difficult. The scripture says, live peaceably with them, if at all possible. It may not be possible, but don't let the fault be on your side. I believe that's what the message, that's the checkpoint. That's the box we need to check as being a Christian. It says, dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. What does that mean? Back up and don't engage. You know, there's times that there are confrontations that would be totally disarmed if you just back up, if I just back up, if I just let somebody... You know what? You know what the all weapons have a range on the projectile, the bullet that comes out of the end of the barrel. You know, there's a distance at 500 yards. My 12-gauge shotgun with a slug in it is not lethal. If I could put my shotgun at the perfect angle where it would throw that chunk of lead 500 yards, by the time it gets 500 yards, I could probably catch it with a baseball glove and it not hurt me. But at 50 yards, it's lethal. It'll punch a hole in a piece of steel. I've seen it done. Give place back up, take a step back. Somebody get in your face, take a step back. That's what the writer is saying here. Avenge not yourselves. You know what is carnally the tendency? Somebody get, have you ever had somebody get in your face to where they were talking so vehemently they were just kind of, saliva was kind of being spit out? Have you ever been in those situations? Not very comfortable, is it? Makes you want to spit back in their face. Makes you want to elevate your voice and scream right back at them and maybe tap them on the chest and push them away. You know what happens if you take about two steps backwards? You don't get saliva on you anymore. Take three or four steps back and just let them cool down a little bit. You know, you could probably avoid a fist fight. But if you scream right back in their face and spit in their right in their face, pretty soon one of you is going to throw the first blow. And you're going to have a fight on your hands. He says, give place to wrath, for it's written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. There's a consequence. Let the Lord meet that consequence out. And don't go saying, yeah, I told you so. Let the Lord take it and resolve it. As bad as the carnal man would like to say, well, they got what they deserve. I can see that one coming. No, vengeance is mine, the Lord. The Lord said, I'll deal with that. Leave them with me. Mothers, you ever tell your children, wait till daddy gets home? You might say, yeah, that might happen sometimes. And when daddy gets home, the consequences may come. Leave them with the Lord and let him take care of it. Just trust him that he'll resolve it in the best way he knows how to fix it. He says, therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. And if he thirst, give him drink. That's not really what you want to do, is it? Let him starve just a little bit. That's what the carnal man says. But the gospel said something different. Jesus said, but I say unto you, don't do that. He says, therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. That's where we have the problem, isn't it? What is heaping coals of fire on somebody's head? What's it got to do with this situation? Now, I hope you can take what I'm fixing to say home with you. And it'll help you understand this scripture now and in the future. You know when matches were delivered or were developed and invented? Anybody here know? How much? In the early 1800s. You know, matches, and, well, we don't use matches hardly anymore. We got those little butane lighters, don't we? It's easy for us to start a fire, isn't it? You know what they did before matches? They used a piece of high carbon steel and a flint rock. And they made sparks. You know what they did before that? Because high carbon steel is not something that's been around forever either. You know what they did before that? Rub two sticks together. Take a piece of hardwood and rub it on a piece of soft wood until it got to smoldering enough that maybe you could put a little dust in there, sawdust in there, I don't know. You ever tried to start a fire like that? I'm going to tell you, you're going to be there a while. It ain't like, you ever seen somebody strike a match on their blue jeans? Oh, I went through half a box of matches before my mama caught me on that one. That's pretty cool. It makes marks on your blue jeans and it wastes matches. That's pretty easy. But starting a fire by rubbing two pieces of wood together is not a very... You need a fire pretty bad to do that. Just say it. Or you're trying to prove something to somebody. But what if he was in bad need of fire and somebody come along and said, here, I got this little bucket. I got this container and it's got some coals of fire in it. Could this help you out a little bit? Oh, yes, that would help me. That helped me a lot. In the time that this was written and before, in the time of Solomon, did he have matches? Did he have butane lighters? Did he have steel and flint? Maybe. I don't know. You know, you're going to get fire one of two ways. You're going to rub two sticks together or from a lightning strike. And that sounds pretty dangerous. It'd be so much nicer if somebody blessed me with some fire. You know what he's talking about when he says, let's read that verse again. If the enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, when you do that, when you feed your enemy, when you give him some water, when you give him something to drink, for in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire. You know one of the greatest blessings that you could be to someone that lived in that time frame? Share your fire. Give some fire to them. It's not talking about putting a hurt on them. It's not talking about them feeling some of the heat of your displeasure. It's being a blessing to them. So they can cook their own food. So they can warm their own home. That's what he's talking about. Samuel Wesley. You ever heard that name? You've heard the Wesley name, I'm sure. John and Charles Wesley had another brother named Samuel that was a poet. And he wrote a stanza that goes like this. Will artists melt the sullen ore of lead by heaping coals of fire upon its head? In the kind warmth the metal learns to glow, and pure from dross the silver runs below. Did you know when you heat up the ore that would have lead in it, when you bless it with the warmth of fire, the pure lead starts running out below? You know, when we are able by the power of the gospel message to have a new man down inside, instead of wanting to pull somebody's distributor out and lay it in the front seat, and instead of wanting to punch somebody in the face or let the air out of their tires or catch them at an inopportune time and pour a glass of water on them or whatever it is, if we'll treat them with kindness and we'll treat them maybe offer to feed them, maybe literally, maybe figuratively, that's how you get the pure product out. That's how you're a blessing to them. You know what that's going to do to the world around us? It'll change things. And he concludes the chapter by saying, be not overcome of evil. You know how to tell when you're overcome of evil? When you're retaliating. When you're being reactionary to something that happened to me. And it's so tempting. It is so tempting. There is not a person in here today, from the youngest to the oldest, it's so tempting to be reactionary when injustices happen. I know, because I've been young and now I'm older. I may not be the oldest in here, but I'm older. And I know that there is a very real temptation to be reactionary. Somebody cuts me off in traffic. Somebody borrows my tool and brings it back broke. Boy, I ain't gonna loan nothing else to them. That's the reactionary thing. somebody looks at me cross-eyed, I look at them cross-eyed. Lord, help me to have something more than that. The gospel is more powerful than that. If I retaliate, tit for tat, you bump me, I bump you. I know that's what the old law said, but Jesus said, but I say unto you, and gave them something different, it's going to change the world. It'll change our environment. It'll change our home. It'll change, if we get this principle, this is on the checklist, if we get this principle, it'll make life different for us and for those around us. He says, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Lord, help us all to overcome evil with good. You pray for me.